You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Rob Ferret. He'll be back next week. Coming up, during the pandemic, millions of families were suddenly thrust into a new world of work from home and remote learning, and working women in particular bore the brunt of the economic downturn and childcare responsibilities. We'll take a deep dive into this issue in just a bit. Now, Governor Tony Evers signed the state budget yesterday, a budget that was written by Republicans and includes more than $2 billion in tax cuts. It comes after state Republicans cut billions in spending from Evers' original proposal, eliminating policy items like legalizing pot and expanding Medicaid. We're talking about what got funded, what got vetoed, and all the politics surrounding the state budget. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you glad that Governor Evers signed this budget into law? Are you happy to see income taxes getting cut? What are some of the things you wanted to see get funding in the budget but maybe didn't? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter. She's also the co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, JC, thanks so much for having me.
So let's kick off our conversation with some of what Governor Evers said about signing the budget. Here he is at an event in Whitefish Bay yesterday.
In many ways, this budget presents a false choice between the priorities the people of the state care about and deserve. But after 8 long years of politicians making decisions for all the wrong reasons, I ran to be governor of this state and promised I would always put people before politics.
Not long ago, Governor Evers said vetoing the entire budget was an option. And, you know, there were some questions leading up to the other day, you know, what exactly was going to get cut. Why then did we see him sign the budget more or less as it had been? Of course, with some things were removed, but we'll get to that in a bit.
So basically what the governor said yesterday was that he actually didn't have an option when it came down to it about signing the budget this time around. And that was partially or big reason for that, really, that he called out was not signing the budget would put Wisconsin in a place where it might miss out on billions of dollars in federal COVID-19 stimulus money. Essentially, what could happen is if he vetoed the budget, the Republican legislature and himself weren't able to come to another agreement, set another budget, the state wouldn't meet requirements for receiving that aid, in particular for K-12 schools and higher education across Wisconsin. And that funding equals more than $2 billion, $2.3 billion. So Evers just said, you know, I'm not going to put that amount of money on the line. I'm not going to risk that. I'm going to sign the budget and ensure that we get that money from the federal government.
So before we get to the political fight over the budget, can you walk us through some of the main elements of the spending plan? What did we see get funded?
So obviously, this is a pretty big document, so I won't go through everything. But some of the highlights, something that has been talked about a lot by Republicans and Democrats this budget season is broadband funding. That was really kind of thrown into harsh relief during the pandemic, the disparity between urban and rural communities in Wisconsin in terms of who has high-speed internet and who doesn't. So this budget includes $129 million to expand broadband to communities that don't have it or don't have sufficient speeds right now. Another thing that both Republicans and Democrats have pointed to are state rate increases for nursing homes, for personal care workers, for family care workers. There's a 4-year extension of the state stewardship program where we buy land and preserve that land for public use. $19 million for school mental health, a 2% increase for special education costs for schools. And then a big one that folks have likely heard about for several years now, the expansion of I-94 in Milwaukee County. That got a green light under this budget. That's been kind of a back and forth issue for several years now.
Now, another piece of the budget that got a fair amount of headlines were some tax cuts that Republican lawmakers put in there. You know, how will they work and who are they really geared towards in the state?
That's really the biggest part of this budget, I think, and what we're going to hear a lot about over the next year or so. I think it's not just going to be in this kind of budget season where we talk about these tax cuts. I think it's going to continue into the 2022 campaign for the governor for sure and for lawmakers. So what this cut would do, it's initially it was introduced at $3.4 billion by Republican lawmakers last month, kind of late in the budget process. As the governor signed it, he did make some small changes. It's down to about $2.6 billion, but it preserves the biggest part of the tax cut, which is lowering income taxes in Wisconsin for the largest income tax bracket. So this applies to a lot of folks, and it's taking their tax rate down from 6.27% to 5.3%. That alone is supposed to cost about $2.4 billion over the next couple years. And to give folks a little bit of context, it really it depends on how much money you make, how much you're going to save. But for a family that earns between $50,000 and $60,000 a year, the average savings would be on income taxes $172 annually.
We are talking to Laurel White right now. She is WPR's state capital reporter, and she's with us to talk about the state budget that Governor Evers signed into law yesterday. So obviously, Governor Evers didn't get to set his whole agenda. The Republicans didn't get to set their whole agenda. What were some of the things that the GOP cut out of the budget that Evers had wanted in the budget?
That's a really long list. So the governor proposed a lot. It was a really expansive budget when he rolled it out earlier this year. And one of the first steps that the Republican-controlled legislature, the Republican-controlled state budget committee did was remove about 400 of the governor's different proposals from the budget. Some of the big ones were the Medicaid expansion, accepting that federal expansion of Medicaid, and the $1 billion incentive that comes with it. You mentioned this earlier, legalizing marijuana. The governor also would have raised the minimum wage in Wisconsin, and he would have rolled back some of the union laws that were passed under former Governor Scott Walker's kind of, iconic piece of legislation, Act 10. So big policy things that Governor Evers proposed that certainly didn't make it in this final budget.
And it's a two-way street. The governor did get to veto some things, but they weren't necessarily as extensive as maybe some political watchers thought they would be. What kind of cuts did we see come from the governor?
I think it's a really good point that these budget vetoes weren't as big as we've seen in the past. There are a couple factors, a couple reasons for that that we can get into. But for context, the governor issued 78 vetoes for the last budget. Among them was a measure that increased K-12 education spending in Wisconsin by $65 million. So that was kind of the big thing last time. This time, he didn't really do anything like that. He says he couldn't. Again, we'll talk about that. But some of the things that he did do with his 50 partial vetoes, he eliminated a $550 million transfer out of the state's general fund into its so-called rainy day fund. Basically, Republicans wanted to transfer that amount of money from the state's checking account, for all intents and purposes, into its savings account. The governor said, the rainy day fund is in really good shape right now, really high levels. Let's keep that money in the general fund so we can use it for things like schools if we want to. He just didn't think that transfer was necessary. So that's a big one and something that we may see some more conversation about as Evers kind of pushes lawmakers to consider, we've got $550 million sitting in the general fund. Maybe we can spend that on things like schools in the coming months. So we'll keep an eye on that. The governor also eliminated a Department of Workforce Development study that would have kind of looked into a possibility of a sliding scale for unemployment benefits in Wisconsin. So it would have changed or looked at the possibility of changing unemployment benefits, whether that's how much money you get or how long you're eligible, based on what the state unemployment rate is. Evers said he didn't want the state to move forward with that, so he deleted that study. And then another one, and there were 50 of these, and I won't go through all of them, I promise, was something that he vetoed in the last budget as well. And that was a limit on the amount of state money that could be spent on security for the lieutenant governor's office. He said that that should be at the discretion of, you know, the professionals that oversee that and shouldn't be limited by the legislature.
We are talking to Laurel White right now. She's Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter and the co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. She's with us today to break down what made it and what got vetoed in the state budget that Governor Evers signed yesterday. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Were there things that you felt didn't get enough funding in this budget? If you work in education, what do you think about the levels of school funding that were approved? What questions do you have about the budget process and what comes next? We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue this conversation in just a minute right here on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Right now, we're picking up our talk about the state budget. Governor Tony Evers signed that spending plan into law yesterday. Laurel White is with us now. She's the state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're taking your calls about the budget at 800-642-1234. Now, Laurel, before the break, we were talking a little bit about Governor Evers and what he did or didn't opt to veto. And what has come up a lot during this conversation about the budget is the unique powers of the veto that the governor's office and right now Governor Evers has. Can you really quickly talk about just kind of how unique the veto power is in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so this is really interesting, or I think it's really interesting. I might be a little biased, but basically the governor of Wisconsin has a lot more authority than other governors across the country. So sort of the typical situation for a governor when he or she receives the budget is that they can make changes to appropriations. So they can make a number smaller, they can make a number bigger, and that's kind of the limit of their authority. In Wisconsin, the governor can change policy language as well. So it's not just limited to changing those numbers. The governor of Wisconsin can change, you know, numbers, punctuation. They can delete words. They can delete entire sentences in language that's policy related, that isn't, you know, allocating a specific amount of money, you know, in that little bit of the budget. So it's a really interesting thing. Over the past, you know, few decades, that power has kind of been chipped away. Some specific actions, like deleting individual letters from words to make new words, if you believe it, that's a thing that used to happen, or deleting words from sentences to combine sentences and make new sentences. It's also a thing that's not allowed anymore, but was fairly recently. So, you know, those things are gone, but even the power that remains is fairly expansive, especially when you compare it to other governors.
Thank you for that lesson here as it comes to the veto powers, which is really interesting, just the amount of discretion, certainly that there used to be, but maybe a little less now, but still definitely different compared to other governors. Now, Governor Evers said that this was a bipartisan plan, and some Republican lawmakers cried foul on that. Republican Representative Mark Bourne shared some of his reaction to Evers' approval of the budget yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Personally, I find it laughable and hypocritical that just 6 months ago, when Governor Evers introduced his budget and he proposed an over $1 billion tax increase, he was given the opportunity to lead and propose tax cuts on for the hardworking families of Wisconsin, and he failed.
So Governor Evers has said that, you know, as part of a campaign pledge that he would reduce taxes specifically for, you know, middle class families in the state. Republicans are saying, you know, this was our our idea. You know, where is the political infighting happening here in terms of, you know, the budget moving forward?
This is absolutely a fight that I think we're going to continue, again, sort of the conversation about this income tax cut into next year, into the campaign season. Basically, the governor is kind of taking credit for this tax cut. He's saying that this tax cut fulfills a promise that he made in 2018 to cut middle class taxes by 10%. And Republicans are really upset by that because this proposal wasn't the governor's proposal. It was their proposal. And they point out that the governor's initial budget plan actually increased taxes by about $1 billion. So they're saying, hey, what you actually called for is very, very different from the thing that you're now kind of, you know, touting as a big accomplishment in this budget. And the governor kind of pushes back on that and says, well, I signed it. I made this law. I made this happen. And, you know, that's an important part of the process. It couldn't happen without me. So I think that we're going to continue to see kind of this back and forth of who can claim this tax cut and who can kind of talk about it as an accomplishment.
We are talking to Laurel White right now. She's WPR State Capitol reporter. And I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Jay in Two Rivers. Hi, Jay. So it sounds like we might have actually lost Jay. But the note that I received from our show director said that, you know, according to Jay, taxpayers would get more bang for their buck if there wasn't a tax reduction for most of us. Same amount of money could be invested in the things that we need. That came from Jay in Two Rivers. Are you hearing anything at the state capitol that mirrors what Jay brought to the show?
Absolutely. I think that that's you can make a fairly direct parallel to something that the governor said yesterday, which is that he kind of felt like I think you actually played this clip at the top of us chatting here, which is that he thought what Republicans presented and what he, you know, eventually signed was kind of a false choice. It was making a choice between cutting taxes and investing in state programs. And the governor said, we could have done more. We could have invested more state money in things like schools, and we should have. You know, these two things can coexist, but Republicans didn't agree with him to the extent that, you know, that he wanted them to. Now, there are increases for schools. There's a $128 million increase over what, you know, the state spent during the last budget. But in context, the governor wanted a $1.6 billion increase for K-12 schools. So pretty big gap there. And I think that really does kind of reflect the, you know, the primary conflict between these two parties, which is, you know, the governor and Democrats saying we really need to invest more state resources at a time when we have them, and Republicans saying we need to return this money to taxpayers. It's their money. They know how to spend it.
Staying in that vein, you know, the governor said, hey, this isn't exactly the budget I would sign, but I want to do what's best for Wisconsin residents. You have Republicans saying, well, it's our budget, so we deserve credit for it. What are we hearing from members of the governor's own party about how the budget basically shook out?
Yeah, this was an interesting dynamic because the majority of Democrats voted against the budget. It passed the state legislature with some bipartisan support. Seven Democrats joined all Republicans in voting for it. So a lot of Democrats were in the position of, you know, their party's governor signing a budget that they didn't support on the floor. And the way that we saw the Assembly Minority Leader Gordon Hintz respond, I think, is a good example of how Democrats are going to talk about this budget. Hintz basically said, you know, the governor was acting in the best interests of the state by signing this budget, you know, kind of harkened back to what I said before about, you know, if we didn't have a budget, we might lose some of this federal money. There could be more kind of political fighting that could put that in jeopardy. So Evers sort of stepped outside of that potential political fight and signed something that he wasn't completely happy with. But I think from Democrats, we'll continue to see a conversation about making more state investments outside of the budget, using some of that money that's still in the state's general fund after this process to sort of revisit state spending and say, hey, we've got some money. Why don't we send more to schools, more to, you know, other priorities, and that conversation isn't really done yet, even though the budget is in place.
Now, we are in 2021. 2022 is right around the corner. So we have the midterms where Governor Evers, should he decide to run for reelection, this is the year that he is going to do it. How do we see the political fight, specifically with the budget, you know, spilling into the midterm election coming up?
So we do know the governor's running again. That's 100% going to happen. We don't know for sure who his Republican opponent is going to be at this point, but I think we know for sure that we're going to be talking about what this budget had, what it didn't have. We'll talk about the tax cut. We'll talk about education funding. I think in a lot of ways, it's going to be similar to the campaign that Evers ran in 2018. He's going to focus on schools, healthcare, roads. I think Republicans are going to, you know, push back on the governor attempting to talk about the tax cut, say it wasn't his thing, it was their thing. I think we'll see conversations about, you know, how the pandemic was handled in Wisconsin, how some of the unrest last summer was handled in Wisconsin. So it's always a little bit dangerous to guess what we're going to be talking about a year from now. But I think if we had to venture into the realm of conjecture here, I think it's fairly safe to say that those are things that are going to come up before voters head to the polls in 22.
Laurel, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
That was Laurel White, WPR's State Capitol reporter. She's also the co-host of the WPR Politics podcast, and she was with us today to talk about the state budget, which Governor Tony Evers signed yesterday. And if you can't get enough budget talk, you can check out the podcast, but they will also be talking about this on the morning show after 7 on Monday.